For August the 20th, 2021, we talk about Axiom Verge 2, Final Fantasy 14, and we do a free play multiplayer. Welcome to Level 382. My name is Cole Ross.
My name's David Meismath.
I'm Jella Prendez.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. We are here in the dog days of summer. I say that not so much because it is hot, although I imagine it is pretty warm places. But just, man, there's not an awful lot going on.
And because these are the days when, you know, dogs just appear out of thin air.
That's where all the dogs come from, is these ones. It's pretty.
I have a kind of funny story. It's only probably funny for people who've had a dog, but
no, go ahead.
So Dave and I were going to go get snow cones, and we're like, oh, we're gonna take Pooh Bear with us, which is our cute little schnauzer poodle mix dog who's like 11. And so we were going to take her with us, and we're like, come on, Pooh, let's go. And we open up the car door, because usually she just jumps right in. And she just was very excited, ran down the street, because she thought she was going for a walk. And So we're like, no, come back here. You know, we're going to go in the car, let's go for a ride. And then she's happy, 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 runs back, passes us, and goes to the front door. Like, she just, yeah. Like, nope, I'm not going in the car. I don't want to do that right now. And it's like, okay, you are a nonsense dog. So, like, even though she loves rides, she decided she did not want a ride today. We are all living in Pooh's world.
Yes.
Yes. She is the one who makes these about decisions.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I mean, no sense being in a car with a dog who doesn't want to be in there.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just very funny. She will jump into my car, like, without me saying anything. Like, if she sees the car door open and I do not block her, she will jump in.
Uh-huh.
So, but, like, I think it's because we were in Dave's vehicle, and she's been in Dave's vehicle before, so I don't know what the deal was, but she just was, like, I don't know, skeptical or something, like, completely. She's like, no, I want to go for a walk. We're going for a walk right now. It's like, okay, no, that's not what's happening, Pooh.
Yeah,
bye.
She got her heart set on something, and then, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we did end up giving her a walk when we got back, but, you know, she had to wait a bit.
Yeah. Nice. Ben, you've been away the longest. What you been up to?
Oh, shoot. I got to prepare for going first now, too, I guess, for the video games.
Yes.
I've been to two weddings, so I've been traveling a bit for that. So people are getting married. People that should be getting married are getting married. So it's a good thing. You know,
it'd be a weird thing to say if you came on and said, "Ooh, God, bad news, guys."
There were some rough ones. No, it's all good. One of my friends from high school got married in Columbus, so is there. Nice. And my cousin got married in Denver, and so got to go there.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was good times. We rented a cabin. We kind of stayed out in the middle of nowhere in Colorado. So that was sweet. I got to hang out with my family. A bear broke into the cabin on the last night.
What?
So, Colorado experience. Yeah. Opened a window, went in the kitchen, ate some food, climbed back out like a gentleman. So, yeah, no one was hurt.
Good.
Funny? I don't know.
I imagine it's not unheard of.
Yeah, when apparently the same place had a bear break in like a couple weeks ago, too. So they should probably lock that down a little bit better.
Maybe.
But, you know, no blood, no foul. It's just like basketball.
Yeah.
But it was sweet. We were up by the tree line. So like you felt tired all the time.
Oh, yeah. Altitude stuff.
Yeah. But it was pretty. So it was nice to see family. Yeah.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Jella? Besides tricking your dog.
Well, I can continue that story a little bit. Dave ate a blueberry snow cone, and when he did, his lips turned blue, and then he looked like that dude from the shitty D&D live action movie.
Yeah, yeah.
With the blue lips.
I need to look up that character's name because it's
Damodar. Didn't remember it. The only reason why I remembered it is because
we had to do the Google Maps. Yes.
Well, Dave just like spews all the information of all of the characters and the actors. And I'm like, I don't know names of anything. The only character I know in that movie is Snails, because Snails is such a dumb name.
Is that the...
that's Marlon Wayans' character.
Yeah, there we go.
And I only know Marlon Wayans because he was like in Living Color. So anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what a misguided movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that is funny. Yeah,
that's all. That's all I got. I was on last week, so no major adventure since then, unless you want to hear. Oh, I have to say, though, I'm required to do this. Oh, we did cut our trees over the weekend. Mm-hmm. This is an ongoing project because we have to trim them all because it's storm season. And when we were doing this, Dave and I were talking, and then suddenly he was like, tree cutting simulator, and I was like, Cole would play that on stream.
I probably would. Yeah.
And then Dave just was like unreasonably starting. He's like, I am a very calm person and I don't ever get mad, but the idea of that being a game makes me very angry. And he also got very angry at the idea of like the lawn mowing simulator one and the the power washing one that you were doing. He just got so mad about all of those.
I mean,
and he's like, it's just because it's a job that he does. And he's like, why would I do that in my spare time?
Yeah.
And then like not get paid for it? Like, no.
No. In fact, pay for the privilege.
Yeah, to pay for the privilege to continue doing the thing that I actually do in, you know, some of the rest of my day. Like, no, thank you. I don't want that. But it was just very, very funny because he gets unreasonably mad. And I'm like, oh, don't worry. Now Cole is playing Chrono Cross on stream, so that's different. And he's like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm looking up on Steam. There's no tree trimming simulator, but there is, I can wish list this, there is an upcoming orchard simulator, which looks fun, like a little first-person farming sim. Yeah.
Yes. So there, that's all I got.
Yeah. David, how about you?
Not a whole lot, just getting ready for Dragon Con. They just announced today that in order to go, you either need a negative test or vaccination, so that's pretty cool.
Cool.
Sweet.
Nice and forward-looking of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm trying to make a pair of Hakama before I go. So
Hakama like the root vegetable, or...?
No, the pants.
Yeah, Japanese samurai pants.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which are badass. Anybody looks amazing in Hakama. I love them. Mm-hmm. I approve.
Cool. That's coming up, isn't it? That's like a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, I think it's like first week of September.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. I don't have anything really happening here. Honestly, just cat stuff and boring administrative work. That's it. But I've got games. We've all got games. I think we should. I think we should talk about video games by doing the regular kind of show. What with the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with
the grind?
The grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Ben, you've been away the longest. You accurately predicted that I would be going to you first. what you've been playing?
So I don't have a whole lot because I've been out of town for the most part, but I have a few updates. I played a bit more of Buddy Simulator. I got to the end of the demo. I enjoyed it enough that I picked it up, but I haven't continued it beyond what the demo is. Mm-hmm. I basically just finished up the text adventure part of it.
Okay.
So yeah, maybe like an hour worth of gameplay or so overall. Yeah, so I don't have too much to add to it. I mean, the second half of the text adventure part was a little bit of a slog to get through, but I think that's just a thing with text adventures. So not really holding it. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, we'll see where that goes.
Is it continuing to be creepy or?
So I haven't done as much interaction because since you're in the text adventure, there is some, like, actually there is this part, like a lot of the things in the text adventure are things that you've told the computer that you either like or are interested in, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of shapes that. So like, if you say like your favorite color is blue, there's like one part where there's like a blue light that lights up everything. Or if you said that, you know, like had this favorite toy or something like that, that might make an appearance in it. So like, there's like small little things going on, nothing too, overt yet. I've already, if you remember from, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I've already given like admin control over to the computer. So yeah. Who knows what'll happen next, but,
Power of Attorney Simulator.
Yeah, that's the next simulator game you got in store for us, Cole.
I never signed a DNR. Come on,
it's like a notary simulator. You just read forms and stamp it.
Yeah, just this little stamp peripheral. Ooh, yeah. Do that.
Wait, is a notary simulator just papers, please?
Kinda. I was gonna make that joke, yeah. Or not tonight. Yeah.
So outside of Buddy Simulator, the only other one I got is SnickerX. I've been playing more just for like kind of my evening unwind game. Mm-hmm. Dennis isn't here to bounce off of, so I'll just be a madman talking about it by myself. I'm still trying to beat the last level of it. I haven't done that yet. Okay. Just trying to experiment with more builds, trying to kind of like learn some of the finer details of it. For example, a lot of the buffs will say stuff like projectiles will chain lightning or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it isn't exactly clear what a projectile is because there's like knives that get thrown, there's like bullets that get shot, there's things like that. So had to go up and like look online where it's like, oh, anything that's area of effect are like things that are square. Anything that are like damage over time, that's like the circle like things that people will shoot. Anything that's like a projectile is something that's explicitly like an oval, that type of thing. So it kind of gives me, it's things that aren't exactly telegraphed well, but after knowing that, you can make more interesting builds.
Right, right.
Because you kind of know which ones to pick up now a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So it's trying more strategies that are kind of like cross class and kind of more interesting, I guess. Mm-hmm. The magic equivalent is I'm like trying to build 5-color decks instead of like building a 2-color deck, if that makes sense.
That sounds wildly inefficient. Do people actually play 5-color decks?
Yeah, there's some fun 5-color decks. 5-color shrine people. I don't know. Weird. There's some. Yeah. You have to have a really good reward to do a 5-color deck like that.
Right, but right.
Anyway, besides the point, so that game continues to be fun, but I don't really have too much more to say about it besides that it continues to be fun.
Nice. Know that the developer is doing tweaks, balance changes and things like that. Are they continuing to do like content updates? Like, is there like more stuff coming down the pike, new classes and stuff, or is it kind of reaching?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything as big as like introducing classes. I think he did that early on and like maybe like a week after I first got it. So like maybe like a month or two into the game. Right. Maybe that stuff might be coming on. I don't really follow the blog that they put out more, like, because I know Dennis has that. But the tweaks that have been minor or whatever, they're just like small nudges in the right direction. For example, there's one class that was underpowered, where it had like kind of a small area of effect, but if something came inside of it, it would get lightning bolted. Mm-hmm. But it was like, it was pretty weak. And so like just increasing the area of effect that it had just slightly, you know, like so stuff like that to like make it more like better balanced have been most of the changes. Kind of what I want to do is I still want to get all the rewards for the game and just try and beat it with that, I guess, like kind of get all the rewards and beat it one more time. So, yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that's all I got. I need to play some new games, I guess.
Well, you know, that's fine. You can play what you like too.
Yeah.
Only Cole has things he has to play.
I do every once in a while. I have a time to play too.
Oh man, I'm gonna go because I've got a new one that just came out last
Ace
week.
Attorney.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at the list of segments I need that I have left to do. I have been playing this on the Switch when I should be playing Ace Attorney. Last week, they announced a release date for Axiom Verge 2, and that release date was the same day that they held this big Nintendo Indie event. So I had no idea it was coming out that soon, but I was generally like not over the moon about the original Axiom Verge, but you know, curious to see what that developer would do, you know, with what they learned from the original. And I gotta say, I think that they learned the right lessons so far, even if this does feel different and it is hard to see outside of hewing to kind of the original Metroid, how this connects to the first one. So Axiom Verge came out a few years ago, 5 or so years ago, something like that. It was a Metroidvania, but it was kind of more close to aping the original Metroid. You're the scientist who gets kind of whisked away to an alternate dimension where some horrible plague has wiped out and mutated all life. There's an evil scientist kind of enemy, and you're allying with these H.R. Giger-esque, sentient war machines in order to try and find a way to get off of this planet and through the dimensional cloud back to Earth. And, you know, my biggest problem with the original was that it was incredibly talky. You know, the story itself and the tone were like generally good in broad strokes, but it stopped you for like dialogue that you could tell was kind of meant to be light when the situation didn't call for it. It was just stopping you a lot. It felt like Metroid Fusion levels of stopping you. This is like only 5% as talky as that, which is good. You're playing as this executive for a research company who goes on a site visit to one of your sites in Antarctica and end up going through a dimensional portal to a place where all of your researchers are trapped because it's a one-way portal kind of led by this rogue researcher who's kind of gone full Colonel Kurtz. And this dimension/planet, you know, it's habitable for people. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with the setting of the first game. In fact, it's a little bit more naturalistic, like you're indoors, outdoors, you're in like caves and stuff like that. And weirdly, like the architecture and even some of the like nanobot kind of entities that augment you and give you your Metroid Prime ability, your Metroid abilities, not Metroid Prime abilities. They're like modeled after or inspired by like Mesopotamian and Sumerian kind of culture and language and stuff. But yeah, you're doing like Metroidvania stuff, trying to get around in comparison to the original. The original really relied on ranged combat. You had a gun that could be, that could fire a whole bunch of different types of things. This is more like it's leaning into a Castlevania style melee kind of thing, at least so far. My primary weapon is an ice axe that I can kind of swing around. And for like ranged combat, I've got a boomerang. which is kind of strange. Something I miss from the original Axiom Verge. The original Axiom Verge, like the enemies that you were fighting, had these really cool, creepy, again, H.R. Giger biomechanical mutation, you know, horrific design kind of things. Whereas in this, everything is a little bit more strictly technological. So you end up having drones and things like that. They're fine to fight, but it is less cool to me than the monstrosities that you fought before. But I have no idea if that's going to shift and change as we go on. But like, I've played about 2 hours of this and I'm pretty impressed. It's pretty generous with giving you lots of upgrades very quickly. It doesn't really like talk to you and lead you around by the nose. You just kind of, you know, follow and press at the edges, trying to find upgrades that'll get you to be able to push those edges further. And that is cool and good and what I like.
Yay!
Yeah.
So I remember my biggest problem with the original Axiom Verge is just the gameplay wasn't very fun.
Hmm.
Like, the weapons were all just super basic, and I know, it just was not fun. Do they do a better job of that, do you think?
So I'm still really early, and so like I said, I've got that melee attack that I can do some like combos with, and I've got a boomerang and a couple of like nano machine spell kind of things you can do, like a little AoE explosion on yourself. I'm generally okay with it, but I didn't have a lot of problems with the weapon kind of variety that we got in the original.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Ben, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to do a combo breaker and do a news story in the middle of this. I was looking up stuff on Axiom Verge 2 while you're talking about it, and there was like a refreshing comment by the game developer. So this is on Epic Games only on PC. Mm-hmm. And so the developer was talking about the reasons for why he was doing that. And just to quote, he says, in short, game development on my first game was a side hobby, but with Axiom Verge, it's my job now, and both me and my family are dependent upon that job. Don't want to go into the details and nature of the arrangement I have with Epic, other than say that it's been able to put my stress about the game away and out of my mind for a bit, and just focus on making the game I want to make. Making games can be fun, but can also be stressful. With this deal in place, game development started feeling like a hobby again. So I completely understand that now, I guess. Or like before, I guess I was kind of like, oh, why would you like an exclusive game or whatever and not just put it on everything, but I can understand that argument, so I think that can be okay.
It's the best possible scenario for that kind of thing, like just an individual person who has shown like, hey, I'm talented, I make games that I made a game that people really like, let me be open and honest with you, not about the specifics of the benefit of that I get, but like actually say, oh, this I believe helps me make a better product, as opposed to, you know, I'm excited to be part of the Epic Games ecosystem. I hope all the Epic fans out there really love my game.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And it's a remarkable game for being developed. You know, I don't know if it's just by Thomas Happ, the main guy this time, or if it's an incredibly small team. Like it is a good looking game that sounds very good as well. Like the music is very, very rich and well composed. I think that Happ just kind of is, you know, multi-talented when it comes to putting this stuff together. Yeah. Any other questions about Axiom Verge 2?
Nope.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I've got another one. So last weekend I started streaming. I wanted a short one. So I went into my Steam list and I saw that I had not streamed a game called Yomawari Night Alone yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on. It's aesthetically really neat. However, I've got some real issues with the play. So this is by Nippon Ichi, developer, publisher, does a bunch of like there are people who do like Disgaea, and the HTOL and IQ Firefly kind of stuff. you play as a young girl who like in the opening minutes of the game, like this is not a spoiler. In fact, I would say it's an outright warning. If I knew this was the case, I wouldn't have played and streamed it because like over the course of the tutorial, it says like, OK, and here's the button that you have to throw a rock and you're out with your dog. It's like, you know, at dusk, you know, and just walking around doing your movement tutorial. You throw a rock and it has you facing toward a street. Your dog goes to run into the street chasing the rock and gets hit by a car.
Oops.
And this is, you know, somebody in the chat said that this game is like art style dissonance the game, because the, you know, the character herself, you know, is this cute little girl drawn in a hyper stylized, super cute style. Everything, like even the enemies are kind of drawn in this kind of chibi kind of aesthetic. But, you know, they're monsters, some of them informed by like the designs of yokai, but, you know, most of them pretty upsetting to see. And then, you know, you see your dog get smeared across the pavement like that in this art style as like your first kind of thing. Bum me out. You know, I'm just kind of,
well, is there any payoff to that, or is it just kind of being mean-spirited?
So I don't know that it's being mean-spirited. I think it's letting you know a little bit of what's happening. So this little girl that you're playing as, she goes home, you know, dragging the empty leash, and your big sister is like, hey, what happened to Poro? I think is the dog's name. And the little girl, it's eventually revealed that she's in denial about what happened to the dog. She can't say, but she can't say to her sister, you know, hey, a horrible thing happened. Her dog is dead. The sister goes out looking for it in the nighttime, and she disappears. And so the rest of the game is you as this little girl searching around the different parts of the town in order to try and find your older sister who went missing because, you know, this horrible accident that you couldn't own up to, basically. So like they're like, it is paid off on that generally to make you feel as awful as possible, and give you the motivation to go out and find your sister, because, you know, your character is responsible for it, for her disappearance. I have no problem with the scares or anything in this. Like, it, you know, it's nice and spooky. It's really atmospheric. There's no music. It's all kind of like ambient sound bed kind of stuff. My problem is that this is it's hard is the wrong word. It really relies on instant death in a huge way. I mean, just like respawning for basically nothing. There's like a limited stealth kind of system to it, but it's very, it doesn't communicate very much when you're supposed to stay out of sight and when you're supposed to like be tiptoeing and things like that. Different enemies behave kind of differently. You don't have health points. Stuff will chase you and generally be faster than you. So if like, you know, if you don't have a hiding spot to get you right away, you're just done. And you have to respawn at whatever checkpoint you last saved at, which may be a long way away. And yeah, like each individual night that you're out searching, you're facing off against kind of a boss creature, you know, a boss threat. And like the one that gave me fits, there's like a standard, you know, Samara style, you know, spooky little girl ghost, you know, person coming after you, and she'll chase you, right? And, you know, she'll charge up like a little spike attack that'll kill you. But a thing that you should never ever do in a pursuit based game is have the enemy have the ability to warp directly in front of you and fire off their attack.
What's wrong with that?
It sucks is what's wrong with it.
You said it relied on instant death, right?
yeah. Which is no good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, more so than just like, yeah, everything sucks if you have to do it over and over again. You know, in horror, that instant death, you know, punishing you for something that you had really no way of getting around, that sucks as well. But just like repetition takes all the tension away. You know, I felt this way when I did Alien Isolation, which is, you know, if you just keep on killing me and I have to keep on doing the same thing over and over again, I have like, there's no sense of dread around this. Yeah. You know, like you have to toy with me.
Yeah, you've seen the worst that can happen over and over and over again.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not saying like never do instant death. Like Silent Hills has had a couple of instant death kind of things, with like if you fail a puzzle solution or if you like miss an incredibly obvious thing, or like once there was a chase sequence where like this red light caught up to you it would kill you, and you would have to go back to a checkpoint at the beginning of this of the area, but like sparingly. You know, it should just be lightly dusted with instant death, not you know, not the main the main substance of the thing. So yeah, I'm gonna finish it out. Like, it's a short game. I've gone over the how long to beat estimate just because it is an awful lot of like dying and restarting and dying and restarting. But yeah, I'm a little bit bummed out because it came really highly recommended, and it's just not landing for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not a simulator game.
That's it.
Yeah, I popped in for a little bit of it, but you had only died a couple of times during the little bit I was in there, so
about halfway through that first night I got an achievement that was like, you know, determined or whatever, and it was like died 30 times, and like, okay, yeah.
Was that the point when you started cackling, because you start laughing when you get frustrated?
I laughed and then I got quiet, so you know, I'm predictable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Those are my two games, Axiom Verge 2 and Yomiwari: Night Alone. Any questions about Yomiwari?
No, I was kind of interested in it, and I had it on a list somewhere. I had never actually purchased it, I do not believe.
Anymore. Yeah.
So, good to know.
I'm playing it on PC. I think it goes on sale on Switch, like on really deep discount. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I've started streaming Chrono Cross. I think my plan is to stream it on Monday and Wednesday at noon Eastern during the day until I get through it. Chrono Cross is good and fun. I'm doing it over at twitch.tv/duckfeedtv. Follow and get notifications. I'm promoting myself, baby.
Yeah, and actually I pinged all the folks that are in my personal Discord server, and several of them were like, hey, how come I'm not getting those notifications? I have to check my settings. I'm following DuckFeed and whatever. So yeah. You might get more listeners tomorrow.
Oh, thank you. But, yeah. Chrono Cross is a good game. And I'm happy to be able to share it with folks, because it's kind of a big ask to send them out to play it themselves.
Yeah, I believe when I first popped in when you were streaming it, and I told you that that's like the only way I'm ever going to see that game is for you to stream it, and I'm pop in there. So,
yep. So, be aware that that is out there for you if you are interested. Jala, how about you?
Yeah. So, last week I talked about World's End Club, and since then I had been fairly close, you might think, to the ending, but actually no, because the way that those games work is that you have to go back and see all the different endings before you, or all the different parts of the rest of the stuff you hadn't played yet before you can get to the true ending.
Right.
So
right.
I'd seen one ending, and then I was plugging along the other way, and I got to like, here, we're at the villain lair or whatever. And then it's like, I don't know the answer to this question, this puzzle, this thing that I have to get a code for. Surely if I had, you know, some other experience, then I would remember that bit of information.
Oh, is it that ham-handed about it?
It also breaks the fourth wall and actually directly addresses the player, which is really neat the way that they do it. I'm not going to go into detail about that because it's just too entertaining the way that they do it, but they work it into how the world works and, you know, the powers of the kids and all this other stuff, so it's very, very good the way that they do it. Let's just say that when I was going through this, I was just laughing a lot, just entertained and very entertained by it. Mm-hmm. By how they did everything. And I didn't mind going back and seeing the earlier parts that I had missed, because those were like you have a fast forward button for the stuff that you've already seen, and you can skip on the map after you finish each little segment. So like, you know, if you don't want to replay some of it and you just want to skip to the next part where you have a decision to make, you can just do that. So it makes it, you know, very user friendly, insofar as like seeing all the little disparate parts of the game that you had not seen yet without having to retread all the ground. Like, I wish visual novels and stuff did this kind of thing, you know, as a normal, regular thing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so the end boss fight was wacky. I think that probably like the penultimate fight that you have was more engaging insofar as like a mechanically, you know, engaging kind of thing. Like the end fight was basically a lot of dodging around and then mashing buttons, and it wasn't great. Like, that's not what I want out of a game like this, you know? And like, I realized that this game has some little more action-y bits to it, trying to, you know, I guess engage a younger audience that wants some kind of jumping and defeating monsters and
something
stuff.
A little bit more kinetic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's still, even in all the fights and everything, like even in the middle of the boss fights, if you are, plugging away at the boss and you get them knocked down X number of health or whatever, it will, if you die, it will restart you like right at the beginning of that chunk instead of at the very beginning of the boss fight. So even saves your progress in the boss fights. So,
nice.
And I was playing it on normal mode. There is an easy mode, which I don't even know how much easier they could make it, but, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, the narrative was really fun. And definitely Dave and I really enjoyed the story. For what it was. Like I said, it's still very much focused more towards a younger audience. So it's happier and, you know, overall just kind of, you know, like just really cute, like really cute, really fun. But the characters are fun. I like a lot of the things that they do with the story. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of pieces that are just never explained. And I'd like to talk about them with somebody, but like I can't without revealing a bunch of stuff about the story. Right. So, oh well.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it was good. I would recommend it. Like I said last time, it stays consistent with the quality throughout. So, like, if you like it at the beginning, you're gonna like it at the end. It's fine. Like, it's not, you know, the only thing I might say is you might get irritated maybe with the action parts, but there isn't really a consequence there because it saves your progress so often.
Yeah, yeah. So you're not gonna be redoing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, any questions about World's End Club?
No, I'm happy that it managed to stick the landing for you, because you know, we're both aware that those games can they can be humming along and then really really screw it up in the back third. Yeah.
Yeah, they can do that. And especially for me in particular, I get very incendiary about Danganronpa and Zeroscape games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's interesting. This one did not make me mad. I didn't get mad at it at all.
Yeah.
I was fine. So,
I wonder if the desire to keep it kind of approachable for a younger audience ended up being something that's like a necessary guardrail for keeping them away from doing something unsatisfying, let's say.
Yeah, unsatisfying or just flat out gross. Yeah. Like, there's just some yuck parts in some of those games, but yeah, could be, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like, yeah, I still really enjoyed it. I know that the reviews and stuff are kind of like on the, like, they're pretty varied, but there's some, you know, a large number of kind of meh reviews, and I think it's because people really were wanting this to be yet another Danganronpa or Zeroscape, you know, like another one like that, and it's just not that game, you know. It's not either one of those games. It's a different thing,
right?
So, but it's fun. I liked it.
Cool.
So, the other thing that I've been playing recently is Sonic Mania. It has been on sale. Like, it goes on sale regularly, but I finally picked it up and popped it in to the Switch and was playing it with Dave on the TV. Basically, we were just switching. We were doing Sonic and Tails, but because Tails really can't keep up ever with, especially that game, because that game's even faster, it feels like, than any of the older, you know, games in that style. like we just were handing the controller back and forth and taking turns being Sonic. So
yeah.
So we were playing through some of the levels, first several levels of Sonic Mania, which is basically a bunch of remixes and kind of new updated versions of different zones from the older Sonic games on the Genesis. And they're fun. Definitely like, especially like Studiopolis zone. Boy, there's so much going on. It's like, I don't know what's happening. But there's some new mechanics, some new little bits. I can't really describe, like, I could guess, like, they're like in Studiopolis zone, there's areas where there's because Studiopolis zone is kind of like Casino Night Zone.
Yeah.
And it's got like a little lotto machine and like a kind of funnel that you get scooped down to go into a different part. And then there's one point where you turn into a radio signal or something and get bounced off a satellite dish. I don't know. There's a bunch of random stuff that's going on. And then in Chemical Night Zone, they went back there. And that's got like different types of automated platforms that you can ride on that are on the ceiling that you stick to, and I don't know, a bunch of other random stuff like that. We also went through the flying fortress zone. I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, that sounds like the end of Sonic 2 to me.
Yeah, that one was the end of Sonic 2, but like I don't remember what the name of it was. That actually the name of the zone?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Okay. I've got it on my calendar because we're doing Sonic 2 for WAF here pretty soon. Yeah. The Wing Fortress zone is what that was called.
Wing Fortress. Yes. Now that you say that, I'm like, yeah, I remember that now. I loved that zone. That was one of my favorites. So, you know, like they've been playing several of the hits, although I never, like, Casino Night Zone was frustrating to me. Studiopolis Zone in this game was a little bit less frustrating. There weren't as many bouncy things. Still a lot going on the screen, but not as frustrating to me as that one. But yeah, anyway, like we've been having fun going through. We went through, I don't know how many levels, five, maybe six levels. I don't have any idea how many levels are in the main game proper, but it's basically taking a bunch of old zones, redoing them, you know, putting, there were parts of levels from the old games in there too. So
it's really strange because you'll go through something that is like just straight up a level that you played in one of these games, you know, 25-30 years ago, and then it'll be mixed up with like some new and daring ass stuff. I mean, you got to the you got to the boss fight that is literally you playing Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Yeah, there was a Mean Bean Machine part in the middle of Chemical Night Zone, and we're like, not? Well, okay, yeah. Sure, like, why not? I mean, they are really just mashing stuff together. Yeah.
I got to that and saw that, and I was kind of like, oh, this is different and crazy and adventurous. Neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun because it's kind of like, you know, you're getting a taste of all of the old games, but also some new material, not just remakes. So although, like, listening to say the remade version of the Wing Fortress music or the Chemical Night Zone just made me upset because I wanted to listen to the original version. I like the original version better than I like the version that's in this game. But that's okay. So maybe it's because I didn't have the TV up super loud because of everything. I don't know.
I mean, also, like, you can only emulate the Genesis sound chip so much.
Yeah, true. So we've been playing that. We have not played any other modes because we basically were just plugging away at levels until we're like, okay, everything is spinning. We're not going to play any more of this. We're tired.
Yeah.
And then that's when everything unlocked other modes. So we haven't looked at those other modes yet or anything like that. So yeah, I have no idea. I should probably look up how many levels there are in the game.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Good.
And then also, like, I know that they have like DLC or some kind of like gold edition. DLC. Yeah. Switch.
Yeah, so cool. Nice. So yeah, well, I'll probably be playing more of that in the future, but it's a Sonic game and it's like got new stuff, old stuff. It's fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I got.
Cool.
David.
World's End Club and Sonic Mania. And yes, David, we're on to you now.
Sure. So I've pretty much just been playing Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, yeah.
The online one? Yeah.
Ziv. Final Fantasy Ziv.
Ziv. Everybody's talking about this Final Fantasy Ziv. You decided to face the server login times, huh?
Yeah, so that it's really weird. I don't think I've ever got in without a queue, but I've never had the queue be longer than like a minute.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of weird, but
Are you telling me people on the internet have exaggerated about a minor inconvenience?
Eh, you know, the internet would never do that.
Right, right. I apologize for interrupting you. Continue.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, so, was kind of inspired by Dennis's stories, and, it's actually a lot of fun.
Hmm.
I'm playing as a catboy pugilist.
Okay.
So
you would. That tracks.
Yeah. Running around, punching all the things. I don't know. Just kind of some of the hits, I guess. I really love the fact that all of my helms for my character are customized for my cat ears.
Of course.
So, you know, like, and not just like ears sticking out of them or whatever, like full on like bucket helms with, you know, metal like ear covers on them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Actually the storyline is surprisingly good so far.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess for an MMO that just, you know, kind of the bar was actually having a storyline.
Yeah, but I mean, also like providing you with, I mean, your quest has you going through and like resolving the problems that are introduced. It is not just lore as story, right?
Right, exactly. I kind of joked on the Grind Slack channel where a lot of people are playing it. I just find it funny that, especially early on, most of this takes the form of you just kind of accidentally showing up somewhere and wrecking up some villain's plans.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's basic Final Fantasy stuff. It's like, you know, deceased gods and champions who were manipulating stuff for behind the scenes. You know, a horrible calamity that has happened and trying to rebuild from the ashes, at least in the first go, if I'm remembering correctly, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part so far is the little gnome guys. They're like I don't know, Lollaplutions or something.
Okay.
I don't know, I forget what they're called, but you know, one of the playable races are tiny gnome people. And they are completely adorable because all of their emotes during cutscenes are just super, super exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they get surprised, it's like they will jump and wave their arms, you know, Kermit the Frog style or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you know, normally, like, it wouldn't be uncommon for a game to, you know, have these kind of more silly characters. You know, so, for example, Final Fantasy has always had the Moogles.
Mm-hmm.
But normally, you don't just put them in, you know, the roles in the story that, you know, require you know, more serious acting.
Right.
But in this game, just wherever.
Yeah, just
so, you know, we'll have you know, situations where I don't know, someone betrayed us and my you know, gnome sidekick just straight up reacts with the Home Alone, you know, hands on the cheeks thing.
Yeah, why not?
know, it's adorable.
Yeah. Are you finding how are you finding the early game? You know, as I like you definitely like Among Us have played the most MMO kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like how does it rate? Like, what does it compare kind of most favorably to?
So I'd say it's actually pretty good. It's much more. So it does what I always wish World of Warcraft did, and what I think they actually might have done since I stopped playing. But mm-hmm. it's pretty much if you just go and play only the main story missions, those are set up to, you know, you just do them one after another, and that'll get you to max level.
Yeah.
Which I think is definitely the right way to structure a game like this.
Yeah, and then make it, you know, make stuff that you grind for, you know, alternative achievement kind of stuff, or alternative right, advancement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My understanding from talking to people on the Slack is also your same character, you can just switch out jobs to any of the jobs in the game.
Yeah.
So my understanding is a lot of the side quests tend to be how you level up. You know, alternate jobs if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's nice. That definitely would get around my FOMO, because when I've played any kind of MMO, it's ended up being a you know, altitis.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, so anything like that. The other kind of weird thing with that though is the crafting disciplines are straight up other classes.
Okay,
so. You have to like switch your class into goldsmith in order to make accessories.
Yeah.
I've not actually engaged with that part of the game yet, so I don't know how jarring or whatever that ends up being, but it does just strike me as a little odd.
Nice. Are you playing this on the PS4 or dependent on the PC?
Playing it on the PC.
Gotcha. That's crossplay. Like, even if you have, you know, you could have it on both the PlayStation and the PC and just play the log into your account and play that character. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Nice.
So, yeah, other than that, I haven't played a ton of the Final Fantasy games. I think this is supposed to be set in the same universe as 1 and 2, maybe.
I have no recollection. I know that it is not an Ivalice.
I don't know what that one is.
That is the setting from Tactics and 12.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I know it has the Warriors of Light were a thing, okay. And that's 1 and 2, right?
There's a smattering there, but like it was explicitly called that in 1.
Okay. And then Magitek armor is apparently a thing.
That's from 6. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they just stole things from everything. Because, like, you can go to a casino called the Golden Saucer, and isn't that from 7?
Yeah.
So, also, related to, I think, last week's story, you can definitely play the card game from 8. Triple Triad shit, really? Or whatever.
Yeah. Oh no. What have you done, David?
I'm here to be your enabler, Cole.
Just pretend I'm doing the audio version of the Michael Scott. No, God, no. I mean, is it fun? Have you dug into it, or you're not a Triple Triad?
I haven't gotten to that yet. I need to complete one more quest before I unlock that.
Gotcha.
So, gotcha. Other than that, the weirdest thing I've found so far is in the middle of one of the most dramatic cutscenes they've had so far, which is kind of you know, one of the characters sort of you know, relating his experiences in, you know, the war, quote unquote.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of the story of all of his friends getting killed.
Okay.
And So, you know, he goes and he's, you know, on the comms with his friends and, you know, they all have code names. They, Mad Snake, come in. Mad Snake!
Oh, no.
But that... It's like, why would you do that in the middle of, like, your dramatic moment?
Yeah, you're undercutting yourself. Come on. Oh.
But, yeah, other than that, it's super Final Fantasy style. Lots and lots of Chocobo all over the place.
The
mail system is entirely run by Moogles.
Of course.
Everyone has badass over-the-top fashions, you know, pretty much everything you'd expect.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that's its selling point, is that it has the Final Fantasy trappings as a libretto, you know, to ease people in.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's honestly about all I have. I've just kind of been playing that while I, you know, have time from the new job.
Not bad. Yeah, well, that sounds like a segment to me.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Jala, what did you ask the nice people?
I asked them to ask us. Free
yeah.
Play.
Normally, I'm nor-
questions
yeah.
you do.
Yeah, it just they turned our energy back on us. And as always with free play, I will proctor these. Callum asks, what is your favorite opening level in a game? I'm going to say Mega Man X.
I can't think of a particular one, but any time that they allow you to do stuff with all of your end game abilities and stuff and then flash you back or whatever, yeah. Depower you, but like let you see what you're going to be able to do, kind of like a preview of what's going to be going yeah. down later. Or even play like, you know, somebody who's like your mentor or whatever during the first level, like let me have something super fun and cool, show me what I'm in this game for, you
give
know?
Me a taste. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I think my favorite is Plantside 2, where they inform you about 30 seconds into the tutorial for voiceover that, oh, by the way, you're on a drop pod about to land in the middle of a multiplayer battle.
Fun. Is it like calming ocean sounds before that? Like,
yep.
Oh, fun. How about you, Ben?
I think it's not strictly the opening, but it's close enough. In Modern Warfare 2, the airport level, I think, is very impactful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Going to the next one here. Christopher writes, what are some good comedy movies that y'all like?
Death to Smoochie is one I can think of randomly because I have recently been talking about that movie. Oh, yeah. And basically somebody was like, I didn't know anybody else watched that movie because nobody else talks about it.
Danny DeVito movie.
I quote it a lot.
Yeah.
Danny mm-hmm. DeVito and Robin Williams and
Ed Norton.
Like yeah. a whole lot. Yeah, Ed Norton, a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
Fun movie. References like a bunch of movies that they made. All of them made. Very cute. Very dark humor. Very much my thing.
Yeah. How about you, Ben?
Yeah, comedies are tough because it's they gotta like be funny times. I think Clue might be one for me.
Oh shit, Clue is really good.
It doesn't get old.
Nope.
Somehow.
Oh, that parlor scene. Good God.
Yeah.
Tim Curry.
I think that's the thing, is like wordplay humor typically doesn't get old. Like it just always is clever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, David?
I think my go-to is Big Trouble in Little China.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Mix it in, get that yeah, this is hard for me because like all the comedy that I watch is television. I don't actually like go out of my way to watch comedy films, so like my answers go back to like when I did watch those, which is like, I don't know, I like Tommy Boy. You know, I watched that movie a lot when I was 9. Yeah, that's tough. I might just not have like an answer that is a quote unquote like good movie. Like I'm looking down like a list of like, hey, so you know, here are some of the best comedies or whatever. And like, yeah, there's stuff on here that was good and I laughed at, but like, I don't know that I would like point at anyone as a favorite. I think
if you could say a TV show, what would you say?
Oh, I don't know.
If you could say a TV show that isn't The Simpsons.
Yeah, that isn't The Simpsons. I mean, obviously, I Think You Should Leave is Indomitable right now. I can still watch all of those and laugh. They're really incredibly good and funny. Yeah.
Bear in mind that I don't watch movies often. So, like, yes, if you're going to get an answer out of me about anything, like, quote unquote, current, it's not going to be current at all because I don't watch movies or TV. Like, I definitely don't watch TV. Mm-hmm. So, like, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of my movie watching has been like horror stuff because that generally lines up for shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Ruki asked two. And these are, let's do the first one here. Ruki says, what do you see as your role in the level? Are you the keep conversation moving person, the step in with an awesome joke when they least expect it person, or something else? I mean, that's tough. Obviously I, kind of ring lead a little bit, but a lot of the time I am just kind of like listening and waiting for the opportunity for a zinger, you know.
I meanwhile do not make jokes. I usually if people laugh about something that I say, it's because I have a strange way of wording it or it's just my delivery. So I don't know. I basically exist on this podcast to be the I'm not a white boy from the Midwest person representation.
Yes.
On the show. I'm a Cuban and I'm female, so, and I'm from the South, so that's where I fit in. I'm the dissonant voice.
So do you remember way back in the day we had, maybe you drew it, the illustration of all of our roles on the
yes, on the that was level? Me. I drew it.
Yeah, so it was what? It was Ben and Dennis on one end of a teeter totter, and then Cole on the other end trying to keep us on track, and then me in the middle just chucking you up to do a front flip.
Yes. Exactly. That's pretty much that was a thing that I drew once upon a time. I meant to ink it and I never did. I don't know where that drawing went, but that at one time existed.
Yeah, so I feel my role, I just try to throw us off track and cause as much chaos as possible.
How about you, Ben? What would you say you do here?
That reminds me of another story, if you go off track for a second.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to modify this. I'm not going to ask us to give stats. Ruki's second question. Let's interpret this as what D&D class are you? Good cleric.
I'm going to answer the original question and say stats. I'm going to say high intelligence, low wisdom.
Hey, wisdom's a dump stat.
See, like, here's the thing. For most of my life, I have essentially been a bard. But since I started lifting, like, I am now very strong and muscular. But
you could be a bardbarian. See?
No!
I think that's a barbarian's way of saying correct. So, yeah.
How about you, Dave?
I mean, I always roll rogue, so
okay. Yeah. Let's move on here. Greg says, what was your first setup for gaming when you were a kid or a young adult, whenever you first got into gaming? That is, where was it? What kind of TV did you have? Consoles hooked up, etc. It wasn't my first one, but it was the first time like I had my own space for it. I need to talk to my parents about what happened. But we ended up not having a house to live in. for some reason. I don't know what ended up happening. But we had to go and live at my grandma's for like a month or so, like during the winter of like first grade, you know, and like I slept in a sleeping bag on the living room floor for a long time. And, you know, not a lot of space because my grandparents lived in a trailer at the time. Right. But I ended up like, they're just kind of like, hey, let's give Cole a bit of space. Let's, move the couch out from this wall here. Or it was a love seat even. Let's move the love seat out from the wall and put like a nightstand with his like 13-inch Zenith TV. And you know, this little chair for him to play his Sega on. So like, yeah, I'm just going to be behind this couch playing my Sonic games on this 13-inch Zenith TV. Like sometimes with a blanket over it to make it private, you know, like just, I was able to tape up posters there. Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. How about you, Ben?
I'm still thinking about your story. You don't need to go into too many details, but had your mom recently divorced? Because that happened to me. Is we stayed with our grandparents when my parents got divorced for a summer. Slept, same sort of thing.
No, but. She had remarried like a couple of years before. Okay. What I think gotcha. Happened was like they were looking to move out of our old house and they sold. But a deal fell through on the next one. And so we were just kind of stuck without something. That's what I think it was. Like, gotcha. I don't remember being upset about it. And you know, I was an anxious child. So everything just kind of seemed like it was up in the air and ready to be destroyed anyway. So, you know, nothing like rose above and stuck out as like, hey, we're, you know, this is really messed up about the situation. I was honestly just happy to have a TV of my own and be able to play video games whenever I wanted to.
Gotcha. All right. Well, sorry for the tangent.
No worries.
So when after said divorce and moving into that my mom did, we had a basement and we had a CRTV there that I think we ruined with a magnet at one point in time. Mm. And then yeah, but we had the 16-bit consoles. We had like a Super Nintendo. I think we had a Sega at one point, but I can't remember when. Mm-hmm. Collected them through various Christmases.
Yeah. So. Nice. Jala, how about you?
So I'm old and I had an Atari back in our den before we moved one of various times. Like this was in the original house that we lived in. We moved a lot when I was younger, but it didn't start until I was like 8. So that one little den, we had an Atari 2600 and my sister and I shared. And then also we got my dad to play sometimes. And that was the only time my dad ever played video games with us. And I can't remember what the game was, but there was like this warrior game where you were going through a little dungeon fighting guys. I don't know, it looked like you had like little, if I remember correctly, I might be completely misremembering this because it was a long, long time ago and I've slept since then, but it looked like you had little horned helmets or something. I don't know. There was like a little gauntlet? Red guy and a blue guy. It was kind of like a gauntlet kind of situation. I don't remember much about it, but that was the one game that my dad played with me. After that, later on, because we had after the Atari, we had an NES, and then eventually I got a Sega Genesis, and that was my system. That was my first personal system, was the Sega Genesis, and I got like a little TV for my room because my dad owned a remodeling business, so he remodeled one of the houses that we lived in to get a room built for my sister. And once she had her own room and we weren't sharing anymore, then that's when I was able to enjoy the space with my TV and my game console for the first time in my own quarters, not shared space.
Nice. Yeah. This is fun to think about. How about you, David?
So I think my first one would probably be the just say NES in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had a crappy old TV in a NES and trying to make it through Dragon Warrior.
Nice. Man, I miss my, I really wish that I found a way to hold on to my old Zenith. That thing is a piece of shit, but no, actually, you know what? It wasn't. It lasted for a really long time. I don't know why I'm negging this TV that I really liked. Zenith made really good televisions. Anyway, let's see here. I moused away because I shared an image in the Discord. Let's see. Tom asks, what physical board game would you prefer to play simulated on a computer?
I have an answer for this one. Gloomhaven is a fun game, but there is a lot of setup and teardown of the dungeons that you go through. And
good news.
It's coming out on Steam. It is not there yet from what I've seen.
It's still it's still early access, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say like anything like that, Arkham Horror, stuff of that nature. If it gets rid of setup, that's cool. But also, I don't know, like it is different playing it on a computer, especially at a distance if you're playing with other people, one imagines. So I think that would probably factor into. Yeah.
What was the name of the game that you posted the screenshot of, Cole?
Oh, sorry. That was Gauntlet for the 2600.
Oh, that actually Gauntlet? Yeah. It might have been Gauntlet that we were playing.
Yeah. Okay. Apologies for dropping that in and then just being a freaking mystery about it. Yeah. Jolly or David, do you have an answer for this?
I don't play a lot of board games, so no, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to, but unfortunately, I just don't tend to have a lot of people. And then, like, last couple of years has been like, don't go near people. So, like, true. I haven't played physical board games in a while. I have Tabletop Simulator, if that makes any difference to anybody about anything. Someday, perhaps, I will play a tabletop game on Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah. Finally, here, Roop asks, should David Lynch get to do a movie or series with unlimited budget? Unlimited is weird. I would say give David Lynch whatever he needs to do what he wants.
Sure, why not? Creative people should be able to make things unless they are completely horrible humans. Is David Lynch a horrible human?
No, he treats the people that he works with very well.
Okay, well then that is fine. I approve.
He is probably a very strange human. But...
Well, that's fine. Strange is okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I want him to make a video game, not a movie.
Yeah. I would say give him unlimited budget for one movie and see what happens. I'm like of two minds, though. I think sometimes you can come up with a lot of creative solutions when you don't have all the resources you would want. See that, the fountain.
That's the thing.
I think we should get creative with it. Like, he should have unlimited budget, but he can only spend at junkyards.
that's a little bit why I said like unlimited is tricky, and why I went with whatever he needs. I trust that he would have the good discretion to use it, but like, yeah, limitation breeds creativity. It is very hard to work outside that. I need to pre-order that Mulholland Drive Criterion Blu-ray they just put up for pre-order. 4K. Anyway, sorry, they got me on David Lynch. That's all the questions we had.
Yeah. They're good questions this time.
Good questions.
Also, sorry about all the noise. I've now got like 82 different phones, and so
that sounds like hell.
Okay,
it's collecting them.
Yeah, no, on, I think on those belong to other people. And for some dumb reason, since they're both iPhones, like any call or text or whatever goes to both of them.
Oh god. Oh no.
So you get pages in stereo.
Oh no. Well, thank you for writing in with your questions. Let's try to not wait so long to do a free play again. If you'd like to participate in this, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for prompts to go up on Monday afternoons. Thank you, Jala, for posting it.
And thank you to all the listeners for asking questions, because I didn't want to think about one. I'm very tired.
That is perfectly within your right.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games that are exciting to us. It's going to be a short one because, kind of like I said at the beginning, there's just not an awful lot happening right now in terms of news. I'll lead with... Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, nope.
I'll lead with mine because I am really jazzed about this, although details are light. 11-Bit Studios has announced the existence of Frostpunk 2. They've put out a really good trailer, but it is not gameplay. So a little bit curious. They've made some remarks about expanding the simulation from the original Frostpunk. The idea is that this takes place 30 years after the events of the original game, and humanity is trying to fight the Ice Age by getting into the oil extraction game. So that is kind of the new resource that you're going to be jockeying around in place of, or maybe in addition to, coal. I'm just super excited. The original Frostpunk is one of my favorite games of the past decade, and I will be eagerly gobbling up whatever they put out as Frostpunk 2, because they know what they're doing. This developer, between This War of Mine and Frostpunk, kind of has my number.
See, I thought everyone died at the end of Frostpunk 1.
Depends
on you, David.
Yeah.
See, I thought it just eventually got, like, dropped straight to, like, negative 100 or something.
No, I mean, the main story scenario, like, there's one big storm that that you survive, and it's like, okay, if we survive that, we can probably, you know, be on our feet for a little while. It's not hopeful, but it is not like, and then everybody died kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yes. David, what's happening with Back 4 Blood?
Yeah, so Back 4 Blood is the game that is really Left 4 Dead 3. Mm-hmm. However, they just released a open beta of it, and some people noticed that some of the zombies appear to yell the N-word.
Bit of a bad thing, and by a bit, I mean extremely a bad thing.
Yeah.
So they issued a patch, and they're fixing it, right?
Right. So it appears the issue, this wasn't some sort of, like, you know, disgruntled employee or whatever. The issue was basically these two different kind of zombie sounds that get played at the same time and mm-hmm. together sound kind of not good. Yeah. It sounds like it was just a, honest mistake, kind of a chance thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now they're fixing it.
Good.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Also, maybe playtest before you release an open beta.
maybe possibly.
Yeah.
What one imagines? Oh, gosh. Huh. Well.
But I say that without knowing how common that sort of
thing is. I honestly have no idea. It just audio is weird. It is the only like half-hearted defense I could give. But also, like,
yeah,
you know, audio being weird means that it's also likely a mistake. I didn't sense malice in the way that they responded to it. So.
Yeah, so you can find pretty easily, YouTube videos of the, the clip, and I've listened to a couple, and it sounds like it's almost certainly unintentional. It's one of those things where it sounds very obviously like something that's innocent, just zombie noises. But in the way where you listen to it, it's like, no, that 100% does sound like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it can be both. I mean, it's a little bit like the farcical version is like, you know, like back in the 2000s, there were like toy recalls for like talking dolls because, you know, it just, it sounded like, you know, like, oh, the baby's saying like, oh, give me my bottle. But actually, like somebody said like, oh, it sounds like they're saying Islam is the light or something, which first off, why is it a problem if that doll is saying Islam is the light? You don't know. It might be. but you know, people getting all worked up about it. Let's see, and we've got one here from you, Ben. Is this a story that you put in?
Twisted in the wrong place. Yeah, this is just a game that I saw that looked interesting that's coming out this week. It's called 12 Minutes. It's from Annapurna Entertainment, which they've made consistently like not bad games, you know. They published not bad games. The thing that surprised me is the so it's a top-down game where a person's stuck in a time loop, and it seems like this year is like the game of time loop games, because I think there's like a couple others that are coming out as well.
Yeah, there's Deathloop from Arcane.
I'd actually reported about this exact game that you're talking about, Ben, for one of my news things like a while back. So it's good to know that it's coming out now.
And I guess the thing that caught my eye was that it has James McAvoy.
It has what? I'm sorry.
Voice acting from James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem.
Wow, that's a cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Granted, Willem Dafoe's last game was not too great, but you know,
man, the details that come out from that come out about Quantic Dream, they would peel paint. It's really bad.
What's Quantic Dream?
They're the studio who did Indigo Prophecy, Beyond Two Souls, Heavy Rain. They're just a real toxic leadership, like just saying like we don't make games for insert slight slur for gay people, that kind of stuff, like sexual harassment kind of things, like just really, really bad stuff.
That's not good.
No. Elliot that's Page really came out shitty. And was like, yeah, he was a creep to me. They also like let weird like body scans get out of him. And then Willem Dafoe, you know, there's just fun photos of them on press junkets together, with just them staring daggers at this asshole. Jala, you talked about 12 Minutes on episode number 118, Voice Inc., back in 2015.
It's been a minute, and I still remember that I talked about that game.
Yeah.
I was worried that this was like 2 weeks ago.
No.
6 years ago. Yeah.
I have a memory sometimes like an elephant, the rest of the time like a sieve.
How did you find that so quickly, Cole?
I just can do a search.
There's
on
a search bar.
there's a search function on the site. Yeah. Neat. Looks cool. I like time loops. Watch The Endless, everybody.
Hey, by the way, I actually have a news story that showed up on my Twitter feed just now.
You
and
do.
All I will say about it is that Fortnite announced that a new imposters mode that apparently plays similarly to Among Us. So that is a thing.
Yeah. Fortnite's biting more stees.
Yeah, more stees. And that's all. That's it.
That's a fun panicked fish man.
Yes. I don't want to open up the article because I'm scared that if I do, it's going to start autoplaying a video.
I'm
just going to leave it at that.
Nice. Well, how do we feel about buttoning it up?
I feel buttons.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This has been level number 382. Gonna keep the admin brief here. If you would like to help us out, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can also leave us a rating or review, or tell your friends. And why not come back next week if you see fit to do so. I will promote that I am doing those daytime Chrono Cross streams. Again, that is at twitch.tv/duckfeedtv. It's a good time. You know you're not going to play a 32-bit RPG. It was made in 2000. That was forever ago. They didn't make good games then. Come on.
I will definitely be like popping in as I can around work and then going, Cole, what did I miss? I was on the phone.
Yeah. So it'll be neat, and those will make their way onto YouTube, and you can watch the video on demand like right after it's off the air. So yeah. Am I forgetting anything by way of admin?
No.
All right. I've been Cole Ross. You can see me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
I've been David Meinsmith, reminding you not to be a racist zombie.
Please.
I'm Jala Chun in places. If I can be found there, that is how you will find me.
And I've been Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. So it seems pretty clear which one you guys are leaning toward. I've got two.
I've got three.
I got two.
I have Lightly Dusted with Instant Death. and I have No, No, God, No. Yeah, so those are the two that I have. Jala, how about you?
Like a Gentleman, referring to the bear. That was very early on in the episode.
Nice.
And then I have Catboy Pugilist, and then in parentheses, some of the hits.
Okay.
And then your horrible Bardbarian that gives me a headache.
But you still put it there.
I still put it there because I know that you guys like it.
So I had, oh, sorry, was that all of them?
That's all of them. But also, just FYI, I would very often roll a mage if I wasn't a bard.
Ah, yes.
So I also had Catboy Pugilist, and I had Negging the TV.
Yeah, that's the one that I thought it was going to be. Ben, how about you?
I have a D&D themed one. I have Catboy Pugilist. I would suggest maybe Catboy Pugilist colon a couple Ooh. Of hits or whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah. Sure, go and for then it.
The other one I have is Bardbarian.
Okay. I like Catboy Pugilist, some of the hits. Let's do that.
Let's yeah. do it.
Okay. I will say my favorite one of the week was a light dusting of Instant Death.
That sounds like one of our titles.
Yeah. It does. We sound like us, guys.
We do sound like us. Cool. Well, I'm going to go. I am sleepy.
I am sleepy.
I'm David.
I am Buttons.
You're not a dad. Buttons! You can't do you can't do that yet, David. cool. Have a good week, everybody. Thanks for popping on.
All righty.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.